You're listening to Real Presence Live. Now, back to more inspirational and uplifting stories and a look at the extraordinary things happening in our local area. Heard right here on the RPR Network.
Welcome back to Real Presence Live. My name is Janine Pitson.
And I'm Brad Gray, sorry.
And we're just so thrilled that you've stayed tuned with us. We just got off the phone with Jason Atkins from the Minnesota Catholic Conference, and now we're going to head to the great state of South Dakota and talk to Michael Pauly about what's going on with the South Dakota Catholic Conference and in the state legislature there. But if you're a North Dakota resident or Wyoming or Iowa or Wisconsin, where our airwaves reach, you want to stay tuned and hear about this issue as well, because we as Catholics, it's so important that we understand where we should stand on it. So now we're going to welcome Michael Pauly. Welcome to the show.
Great to be with you. Thank you.
So Michael, can you recap what's been going on in the state of South Dakota regarding this legislation for legalizing marijuana?
Sure, Janine. Well, yeah, we have in South Dakota, as listeners who live in South Dakota are well aware, we have a ballot initiative process where people can collect signatures to place an issue on the ballot. And so we have an effort underway to try to add an initiative to the ballot in this November's election that would legalize so-called recreational marijuana. I kind of don't like that term recreational, because I associate the word recreation with wholesome activities like, you know, jogging or hiking or canoeing or fishing or whatever. But unfortunately, that's the term that has been used to sort of distinguish that use of marijuana from so-called medical use of marijuana. But anyway, yeah, they are collecting signatures and aiming to try to place this on the ballot. And if some of the listeners are thinking, haven't we heard about this before? The answer is yes. It was on the ballot in 2022 and also in 2020. So this will be, if they succeed in getting it on the ballot, the third consecutive election where South Dakotans will be voting on marijuana.
Yeah, they really just don't give up. Even in the state of North Dakota, we've seen it several times where they try to introduce it. In Minnesota, where both Brad and I live, I do believe that they okayed it.
So.
Yeah. I mean, it's all kind of new, and now they're kind of trying to develop guidelines on how this law is going to be enforced or something.
Yeah.
It just seems crazy. So for us as Catholics, and those that are listening who aren't, Michael, can you explain why the church opposes marijuana use?
Sure. Well, yeah, let's just start off with the basics. I always like to start with the catechism, and this is what our Catechism of the Catholic Church says. The use of drugs inflicts very grave damage on human health and life. Their use, except on strictly therapeutic grounds, is a grave offense. And for any listeners who want to look that up, that's paragraph 2291 of the Catechism of the Catholic Church. So just in very simple forms, if the drug is prescribed by a doctor and there's a legitimate therapeutic use, no problem. But if the drugs are being used simply to escape reality, to get a high, to achieve pleasure, then the church strictly condemns that. And this is something, by the way, that has been a consistent teaching of the last three pontificates. Pope Francis, Pope Benedict XVI, and Pope John Paul II have all borne consistent witness to the evils of drug use. Pope Francis, in a recent speech, even called drug use a new form of slavery. But what I think it's important for people to understand is that, you know, whenever the church says no to something, it's always part of a larger yes. And so when the church says no to drugs, this is part and parcel of the church's yes to human flourishing. We're saying that we want human beings to flourish, to reach their full God-given potential, and illicit drug use is just incompatible with that goal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it does lead down a steep slope into other activities. And people say, no, it's recreational, it's not harmful. But yet, you know, they kind of dismiss the gateway drug argument. Can you speak a little bit more about those rebuttals?
Sure. Well, yeah, and your question really goes to what I think is the most important issue in this debate, because I think we all know that if we were talking about legalizing crack cocaine or heroin, there wouldn't be probably this much controversy. But over the years, there's this myth that's arisen that marijuana is a harmless drug, a so-called soft drug. And the irony is that marijuana has, over the decades, actually become ever more potent and toxic. So the crucial thing that for people to understand is that marijuana contains a psychoactive substance called THC, and THC is just a shorthand term for delta-9-tetrahydrocannabinol. And since
you practice that.
You know, unfortunately, I've been working on this issue long enough that I can say that without stuttering. But but that's just the fancy chemical designation for the psychoactive component of marijuana that alters your mind and gives people the feeling of a high. And so according to the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration, which is a federal government agency that monitors trends related to drug abuse, the marijuana used today has three times the concentration of THC as compared to 25 years ago.
Wow.
So the marijuana people use today has almost nothing in common with what hippies were smoking back at the Woodstock Music Festival in 1969. Yeah, and in the anti-drug movement, the advocates have kind of a pithy saying to sum up this reality. We say, this is not your grandfather's marijuana. And so in terms of what that, you know, increased THC content is doing, well, the National Institute on Drug Abuse says that marijuana use results in impaired memory, difficulty with thinking and problem solving, hallucinations, delusions, and psychosis. And that last one, psychosis, is receiving a lot of attention these days because, of course, psychotic episodes can lead to acts of violence against oneself or others. And so, again, this idea, this urban myth that marijuana is just this harmless drug, it's so flatly contradicted by the evidence. And I'll just admit, it's personally maddening to me to see the disconnect between what public opinion thinks about marijuana and what the scientific studies are telling us. And again, I think a lot of it is rooted in the fact that it's frankly people my age who I think are the problem. I'm in my mid-50s, and I think people think back to their high school or college days where maybe they were at a party and somebody passed around a marijuana joint. They took a puff or two. Nothing weird happened. And because of that, they think, this isn't a big deal. Who cares, you know? And they just don't understand that the reality of modern-day marijuana use is not like it was decades ago.
Yeah, and we only have to look at some of the states that have made it legal, you know, maybe 10 years, 5 years ago. I don't know the exact date, but when you look at Colorado or you look at the state of Washington and Oregon, and you see what's happening in the homelessness that is happening because of the mental illness, the mental health crises that are happening in these poor people's lives. You know, it's like we need to do all we can to help hit that right away. And I think how you're educating the public, I did not know THC levels are three times what they were 25 years ago. You know, and not that I have ever done it, but I have friends that have, you know, 25 years ago, 35 years ago, and I had no idea, you know, that it's increased that much.
Yeah.
And the control that it puts on people.
Yeah.
And you were mentioning Colorado, and you know, one of the interesting statistics out of Colorado is that traffic deaths connected to marijuana use have doubled following legalization. So we're now at the point where one in every five traffic deaths in Colorado now involve a driver who has tested positive for marijuana. So, you know, again, you know, I think part of the problem is people, they kind of get indifferent on this issue and say, you know, what do I care if Joe down the street is, you know, smoking marijuana? Well, you start looking at the societal costs and the societal consequences, and you start caring.
So can you tell us a little bit about what is the initiative that's going on in South Dakota right now?
Sure. Well, it's fairly similar to the measures that were considered in 2020 and 2022. So it would legalize the use, possession, and distribution of marijuana, at least as a matter of state law. And that's important to emphasize, is that marijuana remains illegal under federal law. So there, it's kind of bizarre that, that we have this whole trend of states legalizing it as a matter of state law. But the reality is that it's always, it has been illegal under, under federal law. And the last time that voters considered this, it was defeated by 47% voted yes and 53% voted no. So thankfully, we defeated it when it was on the ballot 2 years ago, but not by a landslide. So that's why, you know, we're taking this very seriously. If it gets back on the ballot here, it, we'll have to wage a very concerted campaign to make sure that it's defeated again.
Eye-opening, that's for sure. And we just need to really take seriously our role in being faith-filled citizens. So are there any other quick things that, we have a minute to tease. Talk about action items real quick for South Dakotans and where they can find more information.
You bet. So there's a group that's formed to oppose marijuana in South Dakota. It's called Protecting South Dakota Kids. And you can just Google that. It's protectingsdkids.com. And if you go there, you scroll down to the bottom of the homepage, you can sign up for updates, make a donation, sign up to volunteer. And that's the best way you can help make sure that this dangerous illicit drug does not become more prevalent in our society.
Awesome. Well, Michael, thank you once again for being vigilant in this area. It is, I think it is one that's so slippery. It seems like it just washes in and it begins to change the culture of an entire society, honestly. I think we've seen that in Colorado and other places, too, where there's just been a real degradation. So we appreciate you kind of leading the vigilance in this regard.
Thank you so much. And thank you for helping spread the word amongst your listeners. And I just, you know, my only final thought would be, as Catholics, we're supposed to be about promoting the common good, promoting human flourishing. Increased drug use is not going to help get us there.
Amen. Amen to that. All right. We are going to have to take another quick break. But on the other side of the break, we know how divorce can devastate children in theory. But we're going to take it a step further and have some firsthand accounts of people who are working on those wounds as adult children of divorce. Dusty Nia and Maria Sorensen will share their stories and talk about a powerful experience that they had recently as they were seeking healing from that past hurt. So stay with us for more Real Presence Live right after this.